I'll tell
we're
you.
We're out here. At least we have football to distract us.
I'll tell you what was amazing, though, was that Champions League final.
Well, I mean, amazing is a bit of a stretch.
For the first time since I've followed this sport, I've had a team I followed win the Champions League. And not fall on their faces in the final, Atletico.
Though it was a terrible, terrible match.
It was one of the worst, like, showpiece games I've ever seen. But you know what? It honored the stadium well. The team that plays in that stadium.
My comment on it was that it when it's a worse final than both of the Atleti finals, you know that it's bad.
That's exactly right. And this was worse than either Atletico final.
Correct. Absolutely. It was so boring.
But the right team won. I think you'll agree.
Oh, you won't find any disagreement here.
No, you won't.
I had my 24 hours of supporting Liverpool, and that is now over. So appreciate it, but now you can fuck off.
Back to normal. Back to normal rooting for the Gunners there. Up the Arsenal.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, up our Arsenal indeed.
Back to normal operations being in the Europa League.
It's what we do.
Yeah.
We're used to it now.
Really? It's just 3 years in a row now.
Yeah, it sucks.
And what's your transfer kitty this summer? 50 million?
No, less.
Less.
35. That is a sad, true fact. This is what happens when your team is owned by a useless American owner and not a smart one.
No, he's too busy building the Rams arena, the Rams stadium.
John Henry doesn't seem to have a problem finding money down the back of his couch.
that's true. Yeah, here's an extra $30
million. Although, you know, I did have a bit of chagrin about... I mean, I know that you also support a Boston team, but Boston people claiming this is another championship for them.
Oh, come on.
But it is a thing.
Like, by association, I guess.
By the same owner of the Red Sox.
Yeah. And that's where most of my Liverpool fandom comes from, anyway.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
But yes, Liverpool, champions of Europe, once again. Take that, Man City. And take that European Cup. And eat it.
I think they're pretty pleased with back-to-back league titles.
You know what? I was thinking this. Like, would you rather have the league or the Champions League? And I'd rather have the Champions League. I mean, winning a league is tougher and it feels more rewarding, but winning the Champions League, I mean, you're champion of everyone. You're playing every country's best team, like, every match day.
And kind of for that reason, I come out on the other side of it. But especially this year, I think if you look at the Premier League, it's like they won one of the closest races in the Premier League's history.
Yeah.
I mean, I think some of the Arsenal-Man United ones were closer in the early 2000s in terms of competitive level, but... not in terms of points total. So, it is what it is. I mean, I think the ultimate thing here is that the league tells you who really is the best team, and you can kind of fluke your way to a Champions League final, see Porto Monaco 2004.
No, that's not a bad point.
Like, I mean, it's just... but it's also a very anti-American sports kind of thing, which I'm also salty about. In general, so that's just kind of my general position.
Yes, especially with Atlanta sports teams.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it was the soccer model, the Braves would have had like 15 championships in a row.
Yeah, division championships don't really mean much, do they?
They surely do not. They mean nothing when you lose in the playoffs. So
every year for, what was it, 14 straight years? Except for that one where you won the World Series.
That did happen.
Yeah.
But yes, no, 14, I mean, it's nice. It's nice when most of your games you're winning, but then when you lose the big ones, it also blows, as we know, as Atleti fans.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, well, let's transition into that, Rob. We are now knee-deep into the summer. I mean, it's only June 5, but it feels like it should be, like, July. Like, July 5th.
The rumors have aged us.
Yeah, they really have. Like, it's not that I want this to be over, but, like, I want to see some movement, especially because Madrid are about to confirm, like, their third signing in 3 days with Hazard.
Right.
Like, and Mendy also,
I mean,
too.
And I mean, as much as I'm loath to say this, I mean, I do really, really, really like the sort of trajectory of Real Madrid. Even though we did have a big laugh about their season last year, I think the rebuild is solid, but they have to stick with it.
And they're spending a lot of money, I can tell you that.
And they're spending it on young players.
And you, yeah, I'm not sure I consider Hazard young anymore.
Well, no, Hazard doesn't count.
But, you know, Jovic is, obviously has a nice trajectory. Mendy as well. And it's a lot of money.
Rodrigo and Vinicius in the past 12 months.
Yeah, that's true.
And, of course, Ceballos, who we have always loved and still hold out some hope.
Militao as well from Porto. Felipe Montero's teammate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have our signing.
Yeah,
from
Porto. Yes, we do. I wonder if Teo Hernandez features in Real Madrid's plans for the upcoming season.
Now, that is an interesting question.
Well, we do have questions we're going to ask, because today we're going to talk about Atletico's goalkeepers and defenders from the 2018-19 season.
End of season review.
Yeah, it's about that time, Rob. I posted the seasonal player ratings last night, just in time for this podcast, and I was a little surprised at how low I rated some of these guys.
I don't think it's really a hot take to say that this was by far the worst defense Atleti's had in probably the Simeone era, maybe excluding the first season.
Yeah, that first half a season, but you can kind of throw that out.
Yeah, that doesn't really count.
Yeah, probably. I mean, in terms of the age of some of these guys, in terms of the transition that this defense was going through, probably the worst defense of the Simeone era. And even then, they only conceded 29 league goals.
And I think, I would push all of that stock towards Jan Oblak. I mean, unbelievable this season, and that's also a thing that people use to kind of detract from his achievements, that he has a good defense in front of him.
No,
that was not true this year.
No, he doesn't.
That was absolutely not true this year.
He had Jose Jimenez for however long Jimenez was healthy. He had Godin for a good chunk of the year when Godin played well. And, yeah, some academy kids.
Lucas Saul for some amount of time.
Like Saul when he played in defense.
Oh, God help us.
So, yeah, that's as good a place to start as any with Oblak. League best 20 clean sheets this season. Conceded the fewest goals per 90 minutes again, winning the Zamora Trophy with that distinction. He's Europe's best keeper. And this was a stat I found when I was doing some research for the ratings. Atletico were average in shots conceded per 90 minutes, which is insane considering how good this defense used to be. Middle of the pack, 10th in the league in shots allowed, and they conceded just 29 goals, thanks to Oblak.
Yep, and he now has more Zamora trophies than Zamora himself, and
yeah.
If he wins it again next year, he'll be tied for first.
Which, you know, it's not a bad bet at this point. Oblak
I don't think so.
He was magnificent this season again. He got his contract renewal, finally, and he is really, he's now with Griezmann on his way out, the focal point of Simeone's project, of this club's project. He is the star now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's honestly more appropriate that the star of a Diego Simeone team is the goalkeeper.
It really is, isn't it?
I'm more than happy with that. So, I mean, I love Jan Oblak. I agree with you. He's the best goalkeeper in the world. Not just in Europe, so salute. He's the man.
Now, for each of these players, Rob, we're going to do one big question. It could be about this season, about the future, what have you. My one big question for Oblak is, how decisive is he? Is he really the second most decisive player in La Liga, even being a goalkeeper?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, because he's certainly not like, to go back to our previous conversation, he's not an Alisson-type goalkeeper in terms of starting the play with his feet or whatever. But so in that way, he's not as involved in the play. But at the same time, for an Atleti team that bases itself on defense, he is sort of the representative feature of that. So, I really struggle to think about what this past season would have been like with Antonio Adan in goal for 38 matches.
Uh-huh. And you know what? I was so excited about... You remember this last year. I was so excited about Adan coming in.
I agreed with you.
He was so good at Betis, and he just flopped. Basically only played in the Copa del Rey, and a relegated team knocked Atletico out. He gave up 4 goals in that tie, and most of them were not pretty. I think he was at fault for 2 of them in the second leg. And the only league appearance he made was that draw at Levante, which really didn't matter. He still gave up 2 goals anyway. So, I mean, it's tough because as a backup keeper to arguably the best goalkeeper on the continent, you're not going to play very much unless the dude gets hurt, and Oblak didn't get hurt. So it's tough for Adan to really make his mark. But when he had the chance, he just didn't really do it.
I mean, that's the terrible thing about backup goalkeepers in general. It's like, you have to have one, but if your primary goalkeeper is good, they're never going to play, except for in cup matches.
Right.
So I mean, I feel for him. I still think he's okay. I mean, I think he's a potential bounce-back candidate for next year, but even still, I don't have huge confidence in that.
No, I mean, he's going to be on the second year of a 2-year contract, and he's going to be the Copa keeper again. Just hope he plays better. I mean, backup keeper is one of those, like you said, it's one of those positions where you don't need to spend lavishly on it, but you also don't want to stick an academy kid there. You need someone competent and experienced in case, you know, your number one goes down. That is Adan. You know, Adan played at Betis for many years. He's been around La Liga, came up through Real Madrid's system. He's got experience, and when he plays, he just has to be reliable. That was what Moya's job was his last season and a half in Madrid.
And in Moya's case, he didn't get enough football either. I mean, when Oblak was hurt, I mean, he got some game time. I mean, what was that, 2016-17, when Oblak had a bit of a spell out of the team. But even still.
Yeah, it was that shoulder injury that kept him out for, like, a long time, didn't it? A couple months?
Yeah. I mean, but the other thing that I'm looking at it now in terms of Oblak, if you look at his 4 Zamora trophies, the goals conceded has gone up every single season, even though he's won the trophy every year. So it's clear to see from that perspective that Atleti's defense has been A, getting old, and B, getting worse.
Yeah, and you just look at the shots conceded this season per 90 minutes. Like, it's hard to imagine the Simeone defense being average in that regard, but...
Right.
Yeah, thank God for Jan Oblak.
Seriously. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where we'd be without him.
Seriously. On to the defenders, and not going to spend much time on the academy kids who played. Carlos Isak, Tony Moya, Andre Solano, they each got 1 game in. Hard to see any of them really sticking around. They're all still pretty young. Maybe one of them gets some run in the team next year, but hard to see, especially with the money Atletico are going to have to spend on more proven players.
I bet on Tony Moya of the 3 of those guys in terms of the guy most likely to come through. I know we'll get onto another academy player later, but yeah, nothing tremendous from that group.
Yeah, I mean, Moya can play in midfield. He can play in defense as well. Kind of a mini Saul in the, I guess, like, lightest sense of that term, because no one is really Saul in this team. So yeah, maybe Moya, based on his versatility, could make it, but. Yeah, Atletico are going to look elsewhere at fullback. They've been linked with a bunch of names, as we'll get to toward the end of this program. Yeah, it was nice to see the kids. You and I have talked about this for a long time, about how Cholo needs to trust the academy a little bit more, give opportunities to these guys, and he, to his credit, he did do that a little bit more this season, although his hand was forced in some cases.
Yeah, indeed. I am impressed in some ways because, I mean, he gets credit for introducing people like Saul and stuff, but when you have a talent like Saul, it's a bit obvious. But I think if you use the academy more, they're solid backup players at the very least.
And if not, you can try to sell them for a decent fee.
Right, exactly. To like even like middling lower tier La Liga clubs would be interested, I'd imagine.
Yeah, loans, sales, etc. One of those players who might be loaned is Francisco Javi Montero. 20 years old, got a nice run in the team this year because of all these injuries. He got, sure. I think, 14 matches in all competitions, which is pretty good for a guy who, again, 20 years old and had played in the B team to get 14 appearances under Simeone. That's not anything you sniff at.
No, that's totally solid, especially at 20 years old. I mean, I think he did well in the matches that he played in. I mean, obviously the majority of his La Liga appearances were as a sub. But, you know, I think he did well, and he's an interesting prospect, but I do think a loan would probably be best for his development.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask what you thought on that, because if Cholo still believes he can be a part of the plan someday, probably loan him given more time. Yeah, especially with Neohan Perez going to be in the team next season. He seems to have a higher ceiling than Montero might.
Although there are rumors that Perez could go on loan as well.
Yep, there are. So maybe it's a competition between those two for, like, the fifth center back slot.
And that may be something that comes out in preseason, like which one Cholo ends up favoring.
With Montero, I do think he needs more development, a lot more development. He looked kind of nervous, kind of shaky at times. His passing was not very accurate, but he would recover often because he's really, really quick. Like, he would get himself into bad positions, but he's pretty fast, so he was able to recover in time. He does need some more seasoning, though, so... Yeah, a loan is probably gonna be best for him.
Well, and I think that we've seen, specifically with Tomas and Saul, I know they're midfielders, but their loans to Almeria and Rayo Vallecano, respectively, were really good for their development because they played a ton of matches.
Yeah, very
that would be a good decision, I think.
Very helpful for both of them. And yeah, if Montero has that kind of ceiling, we'll find out pretty soon if he does go on loan to somewhere in La Liga. Maybe one of the newly promoted teams could take a look at him.
Yeah, or even like a lower tier team like Valladolid or something like that. I could certainly see him going someplace
which,
like that.
Which, by the way, Osasuna and Granada are both back up, which... I didn't want to see Granada again. They bore me.
Yeah.
Osasuna is fine. El Sadar is a pretty cool stadium, but... Yeah,
but their teams are also historically boring.
Yeah, Granada, though. Ugh, really? And Tony Adams isn't there anymore.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I don't... Yeah. I was kind of hoping to see Malaga come back up, but that's probably not going to happen unless they come up through the playoffs.
I want Mallorca to come back up.
That would be also interesting, although that would be a real pain in terms of a trip.
Yes, because it's on the islands.
Yeah. I mean, not awful, but even still. I mean, not as bad as Las Palmas.
Oh, well. A lot of you enjoyed their time on Las Palmas.
Every time
he played there, they put up 5.
Yeah. But that was a long-away trip.
Yeah, someone I'd like to send on a long-away trip is Stefan Savage.
Oh, dear. And I don't think he's gonna.
No, he gon' stay. So this was... I'll stop short of calling it a disaster, but this was not a good year for Stefan Savage. Once again, he's just a really limited defender. He's really average. He's pretty good at clearing the ball. I think he averaged about 4 clearances per 90 minutes, which was one of the better marks on the team. But he's really slow. He's not all that tactically astute. It's not hard to catch him looking. And he tried to choke out Profe Ortega in March.
Well, I mean, if we were doing a season review of the staff, Profe Ortega might get the lowest grade of any player or staff member.
Not a good year for him either with all the injuries. Pretty bad, actually. Well,
yeah, and there was the not-so-nice off-the-field rumor thing. But we'll leave that where it is. But Stefan Savage, as you say, very limited player. I mean, I think he's useful in some regard, but also not a very good player.
I mean, to be fair, he did have injuries this season, but we've seen him when he hasn't been hurt. We've seen him fully fit, and other than his first season in Madrid when he was great, but since then, he's had 3 seasons since then, he's been nothing better than slightly above average. Now he's just kind of average. With center backs, it's weird because more often than not, you see them get better as they age. It's not like strikers or even midfielders. Defenders tend to get better as they age. Savage is 28 now, so maybe there's hope somewhere down the line, but there's also probably not. He's not much more than a fourth choice center back.
I mean, if I had to bet, I would say basically his career path is as a failed prospect, because the Man City thing was an absolute disaster for him. Yeah. He kind of had a resurgence at Fiorentina, but at this point, that kind of looks more like an outlier than anything else.
And that club was probably his level.
Right, a mid-table to Europa League Italian club.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's a team that challenges for the Europa League every other year. Usually has their best players picked off. Like, they're gonna lose Chiesa to Juve, because of course they are. Like, they had their
just
best,
like Bernadeschi.
Yeah, I mean, they have their best players picked off. Although, remember, Savage came in a part exchange for Mario Suarez. That was still a brilliant deal.
Well,
to get rid of Mario and buy Savage for like $10 million, that was still a really good deal.
Well, and the other thing was that he was part of a swap deal to go to Fiorentina in the first place for Mattia Nastasic.
That's what he was, wasn't he? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the dude loves getting swapped. I mean, he should come play in MLS. He's perfect.
He's not old enough yet. He is slow enough, but not old enough.
Yeah, he's definitely slow enough. Not, he may not be his level.
How many games does Savage play next year?
Oh, God, how many play this year? 19, 15 in the league. I bet he'll play the same amount next year, 15. I think that's around solid.
I bet you he gets to 30 appearances.
God, surely not. Surely not. In all comps or in La Liga?
In all comps.
Okay, I can see that.
I'll bet you he gets to... With La Liga, yeah, it depends on who Atleti buy at center back. The Mario Hermoso rumors are picking up, and that's very exciting. Hopefully they get him. But, yeah, we'll talk about that a little later. Next up, let's move on to the guys who are leaving. Juan Fran, first up. Juan Fran kind of aged out a year ago, maybe a little longer, but still played a bunch this season. How many appearances did he make in La Liga? I want to say it was over 20. Let me check that, actually. Yeah, he made 22 appearances, 18 starts.
Cool.
And, yeah, he stayed relatively healthy, which had been an issue for him the past couple seasons, but he stayed relatively healthy this time around. Actually led all defenders in key passes per 90 with just over one per 90, which is very strange considering Santi Arias is in this team. He nabbed a couple assists at the very end of the season, wore the captain's band in that final game against Levante, and he's gone after lots of years of service in this team. Came over from Osasuna, who are coming back up to La Liga. What would have been nice for him to play against Osasuna one more time.
He may be going to there, though.
He may go to Osasuna, yeah. A wily veteran to help them stay up in La Liga.
Yeah, exactly.
But despite the dip in form he experienced over the past year or two, Juan Fran still goes down as one of these great figures, at very least in the Simeone era, also in the history of the club. He just gave his all for the shirt, and when he had nothing left, he still trotted out there, gave what he had.
Yeah, and I think what you said is interesting about the key passes thing. It's like, he always had his technical ability. I mean, he just got old, and that's the reality of the situation. And he didn't really have any business playing in, I mean, not to bring it back up, but a Champions League knockout match. Like, that was just way too much for him. But I know there are injuries and other factors, but
especially
even still.
At left back. He played left back in that game.
That was terrible.
But we don't need to rehash that, do we?
No, we don't need to. But at the same time, it's like... Why?
Because there was no one better. I mean, yeah, you maybe could have given Carlos Isak a bit more of a chance, but Cholo didn't really like him that much, evidently.
He was never going to do that.
No. Especially with, you know, two competitions to fight for. Quote-unquote, fight.
Yeah.
Even then, Juan Fran, again, just gave his all, and he was solid, I suppose, but... You mentioned his technical ability, and yeah, that never left him. That was never the concern. Always a very smart footballer. Always held onto the ball. Didn't really make mistakes. But he just got old. Lost his agility. Lost his foot speed. Couldn't track back very easily. it's just tough to see a footballer age like that, especially one as beloved as Juan Fran.
I mean, it happens. It's just the reality of the game. And I mean, you're right to say that he will always be remembered as a legend, because he will. But yeah, the last couple of years were not too good.
What's your favorite Juan Fran moment? I have mine.
Ooh, wow. You go ahead. I'm going to have to think about it.
The winning penalty against PSV.
Yeah.
That celebration.
I mean, I think my problem is that in his time at Atleti, he was always kind of an unsung hero in general, especially when he was good. Because he kind of went unnoticed, because he wasn't the most flashy fullback. I mean, he was never like lightning pace.
Right.
But it's hard to pick out one moment for Juan Fran, actually. I'm struggling on that one.
I kind of think the same about Felipe, who we're going to talk about next. But yeah, that penalty against PSV, mostly because of his celebration, but also because of that tie was a nightmare.
Yeah, it was.
Against PSV in the last 16.
Yeah, it was.
That tie was just ridiculous.
Went all the way to penalty shootout. Oh, man. Nil-nil. I don't remember where I was for that one.
0-0. I watched that at my dad's apartment.
That was a nasty match.
My heart was in my throat the entire shootout.
Has to be.
And it finished 8-7.
It was so bad.
It was horrible. But yeah. That would be my favorite Juan Fran moment. He had the assist in the Champions League final that year.
That's true.
As
yeah.
well. He had the assist against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge in 2014.
That's got to be it. That
was a great moment. That's true.
Yeah, that's got to be it for me. I'll go for that one just because those two are very indicative of, I think, what we'll remember as the old Simeone era.
Yep. R.I.P. Juan Fran. Maybe he goes to Osasuna. That would be cool, like a romantic return to Osasuna, but probably Japan, isn't it?
Yeah, where all the old Spanish players go now.
It's going to be Japan.
Oh, gosh.
Felipe, whose next destination is also unknown. We talked for a while about how Felipe was kind of defying father time and didn't seem to really let age bother him. Well, this year he did. Also in part because he broke his leg. Let's not forget that. But Felipe recorded the lowest tackles per 90 of his Atletico career, the lowest key passes per 90 of his Atletico career, and the third lowest total of clearances per 90 in his Atletico career. And that's spanning 2 10-years in Madrid. Kind of like Juan Fran, he never lost his on-ball ability. He never lost his technical ability, his knowledge, but he was really quite bad defensively this season. And you noticed it more when Lucas stopped playing in February, for multiple reasons. But you really noticed it toward the end of the year that Felipe had nothing left defensively. And he will be going. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but he has not been offered a new contract, and a lot of teams are after his signing. Flamengo want him back in Brazil. PSG are linked with him again. Even Barcelona have been linked with signing him, which makes absolutely no sense to me. But there you go.
Yeah, I mean, and I know we totally trashed him and this rumor at the time, but the PSG thing last summer kind of makes you think, like, that may have been the time to take the money and run on Felipe, because now we're going to get nothing for him.
Yeah, at the time, there were 2 weeks left in the window.
Right, that was the main problem.
And yeah, Atletico couldn't really have found a replacement. And then, you know, 3 months later, we hear about Lucas's situation going to Bayern. So it would have been tough anyway. But yeah, Atletico are going to get nothing for him now, and that kind of sucks. But hey, Felipe also gave Atletico a lot of great service, even though he had that loan to Chelsea, that misadventure in London.
That was bad. That was bad.
And he got to win a league cup. Oh, he won a league title that year too, so maybe not entirely bad. But it was, yeah, he barely played.
Yeah, he never broke in there.
It was strange.
Didn't get on with Mourinho, but that was a weird situation in general. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there are some weird moments with Felipe. It's very, like, very lot of high highs and a lot of low lows for him.
And this year we saw a lot more of the lows than the Felipe we remember, who was just one of the best all-around left backs in the world. As recently as last season, we were talking about that. But, you know, he broke his leg and probably pushed himself really hard in recovery to be healthy for the World Cup, which he was, and to try to be back for the Europa League final, which he was, but he didn't play. You know, it's tough. Who knows what kind of effect that had on him? It's hard to know. But considering his age, considering that is his second traumatic leg injury of his career, there's only so much you can overcome. And it's been time for Felipe to go. And, you know, obviously wish him well. He is... He left and then came back, so it kind of tarnishes, that's a strong word, but tarnishes his legend a little bit. But, you know, he still goes down as one of the best defenders to put on the shirt.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and he was integral to that team. I mean, for me, in my mind, him and Juan Fran will always be linked together. Even though, as you say, he did have the loan to Chelsea. But, I mean, but at the same time, it's one of those things, like now we're dealing with Diego Costa. This is a guy Atleti paid a bunch of money for to get back from Chelsea. And that doesn't look so good in hindsight, really.
Yeah, I mean, Felipe gave Atletico another 4 seasons after they bought him back.
But even still, like, what, half of that was good? The first 2 seasons he came back?
Yeah, first 2.5 years, I'd say. And then this year just really wasn't good.
Yeah.
And the guy Chelsea got to replace him, Baba Rahman.
Oh, yeah, well.
he's been on loan 3 times since they bought him.
Well, everyone at Chelsea's on loan. We know this.
Everyone's.
They're all on loan.
Where do you think Felipe goes after this?
I could see him going back to Brazil at this point, playing out a few years, kind of like Diego Ribas did.
Yeah, that's...
Go back to Flamengo, play it out.
That's my hunch, that he's going to go to Flamengo. Yeah, team up with Diego. That would be cool to see. Yeah, Diego's still there, isn't he?
I think so. Unless he retired this year, he should still be there.
I think he's still at Flamengo, yeah. But that would be neat. I could see PSG signing him, especially on a free because of their financial situation. He doesn't make any sense for Barcelona. I have no idea why they would sign him. You need someone younger backing up Jordi Alba, not someone who's on one good leg.
But that would also be very Barcelona at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against it. He'd be a backup there. He might start at PSG. Which, you know, have fun with that.
That would really tarnish his reputation.
Yeah. The last confirmed departure, not quite the last. You want to talk about Lucas first, and then we'll go on to Godin? Best for last? Yeah, I'll say the best for last. Lucas... He never really had the time to become a club legend, as he got his move to Bayern, a very expensive move to Bayern that was confirmed in March. That feels like forever ago that it was confirmed. But his final game was that really weird Vari 3-1 loss to Madrid in the derby. That was his last game. And he had been troubled by a bad knee for a good chunk of the season up to that point. He never played again, went to Munich to have knee surgery, and stayed there for the rest of the year. But yeah, Lucas was having another pretty good season. His tackling had gotten better. He even scored his first goal. But Bayern were willing to pay the clause, which was not prohibitive. And there you go. They gave him, you know, 4 times the amount of money Atletico could offer him. And he is gone. It's hard to say that he improved on last season or he had a great season when he only... played for, I think he made 14 league appearances. It's tough to say he was one of Atleti's better defenders.
Yeah, last year, well, I guess now, 2 years ago was his best season, and he made half the appearances he did that year this year, so it's tough. I mean, I clearly, if you go back through the history, I've always been a big Lucas fan, but...
Yeah, me too.
It's hard to see him go, because you know how much potential he has, but... At the same time, I think there are some pretty major injury concerns there.
Never trust a Hernandez brother, Rob.
Well, yes, of course. But at the same time, at least he didn't go to Madrid, so I can't really be that mad at him.
I mean, Bayern, I guess that's acceptable. And you know, the talk about clauses. I mean, it wasn't... Bayern had never paid that much for a player before, which was a little surprising that they decided to spend that much on Lucas. But Lucas is very good when he's fit. But Lucas, regardless, Lucas is very good. He'll probably be really good in Germany again if he stays fit. But yeah, there was hope that Lucas and Jose Ma would form the spine of this defense for a lot of years to come. Now it's just going to be Jose Ma and whoever the board puts next to him. So yeah, it is what it is. How do you think Lucas does it, Byron?
It's interesting. I think it really depends on where he plays. And I was just about to say, I'm really glad I don't have to yell about him not being a left back anymore, because now I don't care. They play him a left back because he's not. But I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I think that Bayern team is super weird in a lot of ways.
They're in a very strange place, like Atletico are. They're trying to move on from a bunch of old players too.
Right, exactly.
They just have more money.
I don't know if Lucas is really the, like, centerpiece guy you want to lead your defense going forward.
Yeah, I mean, he's still young with a lot of time to improve, and he's already won a World Cup. I mean, he didn't even play his preferred position, and he won the World Cup, which speaks pretty well of him. I think if he stays fit, then he has a really good chance to be a top player in the Bundesliga. But he has... As he's gotten a little older, he's still really young, but as he's gotten a little older, he's had the muscular problems, he had the knee injuries this year. Bayern think he's going to be fine, but he also has, you know, some improvements to make. He is kind of susceptible to a press. His passing isn't always on point. He's not much of a presence going forward if he does play at left back, though he's gotten better. So, I don't know, but
he's... Well, and I mean, and the other thing about it is... I mean, he's not going to have to do a lot of defending. I mean, it's going to be a totally new defensive system for him.
Bayern,
I mean,
Bayern are going
to
have the
ball. Defend worse like never.
Right.
They don't have to.
They're going
to
have the ball 75% of the time.
Exactly.
So I think Lucas does, considering that as well, I think Lucas is going to do pretty well.
I mean, but at the same time, if they think he's going to be like Javi Martinez and starting off attacks from the center of defense, that's not going to happen.
No, he's very different center back than that.
Yeah, very, very. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, yeah, Bayern are weird. I also don't really like Bayern in any kind of capacity, so... yeah, but whatever, whatever, Lucas, man. Get your money. At least he recouped a ton of money for the club.
Yeah, I mean, Atleti made an 80 million euro profit on him, and he's making, you know, four times what Atleti paid him, so hats off to him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it makes sense.
Go get paid, especially with the Hernandez family situation where their dad was a real scumbag and he and Teo were raised by their mom. They didn't have much growing up, so you kind of empathize with him.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, and certainly more than Teo, so.
Yeah, because Teo went to Real Madrid. Screw him.
Yeah, so let's, you know, whatever. Good for you, Lucas, I guess.
I do wonder what's going to happen to Teo, though, because he's not in Madrid's plans. They already have Marcelo and Reguilon, and now they're going to buy Mendy. Does he stay at La Real for another year? Do they try to sell him elsewhere in Spain? Does he leave Spain?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. If he gets on a discount, I mean, that's a real good deal someone could get on Teo Hernandez.
He could still be a really, really good fullback. He's only 21.
Yeah, exactly.
He could exactly. still be really good.
I mean,
good.
Certainly he can't come back to Atleti, but...
No.
Some team might get a good deal on him.
He could still be quite good.
Yeah, he could.
Diego Godin, Rob, the last of the confirmed or nearly confirmed departures from Atletico's defense, and can't say enough about this guy. Godin, I don't think there's really much doubt. He's the best center back in this club's ever had. Didn't look like it was going to be that way when he came over from Villarreal. Kind of struggled a bit his first year or so, but almost immediately, as soon as Simeone came, he just became this monster. He just swallowed up everything in central defense. He was still fine this past season, his first and only season as captain, but you could see the wheels kind of grind into a halt a little bit. Took him a while to get going this year. He had some howlers at the beginning of the year, especially at Valencia, at Celta, both of which were kind of disappointing results. But his clearances dipped again, as I wrote in the ratings, and only Felipe was dribbled past on a more consistent basis in this defense, which, you know, not a coincidence, as both players are quite old and not nearly as fleet of foot as they, well, Godin was never fast anyway, but they're not fleet of foot, is what I'm saying. But he's still going to be missed dearly despite all that. He was still really good this season overall, just not quite as good. Though the bar he set for himself was very high.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, and replacing Gabby as captain was a big task, but I think he actually did Atleti a big favor by kind of shouldering that this season so that it's kind of an easier transition to next year. I don't know what more I can add to that other than, like, I mean, he's immense. It'll be shocking to me if there isn't some further, I don't know, recognition of him as a player for Atleti. I mean, he gave it all. He is the truest representation for me, alongside Gabby, of what this Simeone team is about. Him and Gabby are the two for me.
That's exactly right, I think. Gabby got two ceremonies, like one... Yeah, he got two of them. Like, the second one was right at the start of last season. Who knows? Godin might get one of those, although he could also be pretty busy playing in Italy under Antonio Conte and whatever he's doing at Inter.
Yeah, he's not going to Qatar or Saudi Arabia or wherever it was that Gabby went to. But, yeah, maybe we'll meet them in the Champions League. That would be nice.
That would be very interesting. A return to San Siro or a return to Madrid for Simeone and Godin would be interesting if that does happen in the groups.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad to see him go. I mean, in the title-winning season, it's kind of hard to think of a center back, I mean, excluding it in terms of winning a league title. In the modern era, the center backs don't contribute as much. I mean, Virgil van Dijk this year, but the title-winning season for Atleti, he was... different level, different gravy from set pieces and stuff.
He really was.
For a team that didn't score a lot of goals.
He really was next level.
Yeah, he was.
He was just so good that season. He scored the goal that won the league, scored the goal that should have won the European Cup.
Yep.
But just oh so close. Anywho, how does Godin do at Inter next year? I think probably pretty well.
Yeah, it's Italy. It's slower. I think that'll play to his advantage quite a lot. I mean... he'll have to deal with old Ronaldo again, which won't be terribly exciting for him, I'm sure.
Yeah, but, only twice a year, though.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. But, yeah, it's fine. I think he'll be fine.
I think the time had come for him to leave as well. He stayed because, you know, he was named captain, so he kind of had to stay. But he saw that this year's team could be really good. Ultimately, they disappointed. But he did stay on when he had offers to leave. Juve wanted him. Man United wanted him on deadline day. But he chose to stay despite his release clause was 20 million euros.
Yeah.
And no one bought him because he was so loyal.
Well, and I mean, the other thing about this season, it's his second highest goal scoring season for Atleti. So, which is bizarre. I mean, I didn't really realize that until I looked at it a few days ago. But it's like, he really came back on that, but he was kind of inconsistent there with the goal scoring.
Two guys left, Rob. Santi Arias, and then we'll move on to Jose Jimenez. Weird season for him, his first season in Spain, his first season outside of one of the big five leagues. I thought he was good until Simeone decided, nah, fam, we're not doing that, and just started benching him at the end of the year. He made only 6 appearances between the middle of March and the middle of May. And this was despite some really solid improvements defensively and a pretty good attacking presence. He was a bargain, but Simeone just didn't see enough out of him, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to know what really went on there. We didn't really get the kind of Mandzukic or Savage bust-up story kind of deal, but certainly something happened that caused him to fall out of favor. But I agree with you. I thought he was great. For a cheap signing out of the Dutch League, I thought he performed admirably.
He was fine. Like, there was nothing really bad that he did. He wasn't unspectacular. He didn't do one thing exceedingly well. He did a bunch of things pretty well.
And he was around. I mean, he was available to play.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah. I think he was one of the few guys. I think he got hurt like once this year, which for this year's team, that's great.
Yeah,
made him like the everyman.
Well, I'm better than Shime Versalco.
Ugh.
He's coming back.
Yeah, that Croatian train is rolling back into the station.
Hey, you coming back, baby.
He's coming back to rest up in the training room until November.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry, he'll be ready for the knockout stage.
Of what?
Of the Europa League.
Damn it.
Yeah, but no, I do like Santiago, and I do hope that he doesn't get sold this summer, because I think he's a solid guy to have around.
He was an astute piece of business for $11 million to replace Vrsaljko. He did a good job. But yeah, that was what I was going to say, is that Cholo might look to move him on anyway, because Atleti have been linked with Nelson Semedo over the past 10 days. He apparently wants to leave Barcelona. Guess who his agent is? Jorge Mendes.
We love him. So we love him at Atleti.
It's not unfeasible that a deal could be negotiated that sees Semedo come to Atletico for far less than his release clause and possibly see Griezmann go to Barca. That's something that has been rumored and could work. But if Semedo comes in, you got to think Arias is either going to be the backup, which he would actually be quite a valuable backup. Semedo and Arias are both relatively young, both have European experience, and both relatively similar player profiles, attacking-focused fullbacks. Otherwise, Arias is probably going to get sold, which wouldn't make much sense to me, though Atletico could turn quite a profit on him, like could make a tidy profit.
Yeah, my only hope there is that just due to all the departures in defense is that he may just stay just because, kind of like Stefan Savic.
Yeah.
Like, you can't lose everyone from this defense.
You can't lose everyone, but you can try.
We could lose like 70%, but not everyone.
You can sure try.
Yeah, we can.
Jose Jimenez, the last guy we're going to talk about. For me, pretty clearly the best non-goalkeeping defender in this team this year.
Yeah.
Great season for him. Per 90 minutes, averaged over 6 clearances, 2 interceptions, and 4 accurate long balls. He's still only 24 years old. He had his longest run of fitness in the team this year, like he's had in his career.
Right.
This year, which is huge, as we know. Jose
had a great World Cup too.
Yep, had an excellent World Cup to start his year off, and yeah, he was great. Finally, stayed fit long enough, and he still made just over half of all possible league appearances. But he was great when he did play, and there is hope that at 24 his body is going to continue to develop and he will get fitter and better, and he's probably going to be like a vice captain next year. He's going to be the leader of this defense,
one would think. Yeah, and I loved his statement that he came out with. I loved that as well, committing himself to the club. I really appreciated that in a time where there's a ton of change. I mean, there was never any doubt about his talent as a player. The two concerns were always his kind of mental reading of the game and his fitness. The mental thing, I think, has been resolved. I think he's a much more mature player now. The only question now is, can he continue to stay fit? We hope so, but it's worrying.
Yeah, can he stay healthy, I think, is always going to be the biggest question for me.
Yep.
Because if he's not, then you know, it's Savage time, baby.
And he is ultra-talented, both physically and technically, and now I think, after all these years under Godin's tutelage, I think he's there mentally too, so it's looking good, just gotta stay fit.
I have a question on Jimenez, but I will ask you later, once we get through these transfer rumors, because one of them is about his potential partner for next year.
Yeah.
And that is one, Mario Hermoso of Espanyol. Now, the latest on this is that Real Madrid are not going to trigger their buyback option on Hermoso. It's very cheap, 7.5 million euros. But the report in Spanish radio is that Madrid are not going to activate his buyback just to sell him again. They're going to let him go. Espanyol and Atletico are negotiating. There were reports last week that Hermoso has agreed a contract with Atletico for over 3 million euros a year. And a transfer fee could be somewhere between 20 and 30 million euros. But it does look like this is progressing, and I think it would be a great deal. Hermoso, 23 years old, was one of the better center backs in Spain last year for a very surprising Espanyol team.
Yeah, and you look at his defensive stats, and they're right up there with the better Atleti defenders. He did a great job in a team that wasn't entirely defensively focused, but I think that there's room for him to improve further. He's only 23, and he's played a bunch in La Liga, so I think it makes a ton of sense on a lot of different levels.
It would be marvelous to have another young, developing center back next to Jimenez.
Absolutely, it would be.
And I kind of answered my own question, but if Hermoso does come, I think that's got to be the preferred center back pairing. Felipe and Savage are kind of the older two. Felipe is going to be 30, Savage 28, although you could convince me he's 48.
I mean, the thing is that I don't think that Simeone would out of the gate go with the two young guys. I think he is just going to, just knowing him, he's going to put one of the older guys in there to start with.
Yeah, Jimenez Savage is, like, for me, almost certainly going to be the pairing to start next
season. The first match of the season? Yeah, definitely.
But by the end of next year, I think it's going to be Jimenez and Hermoso. I think those are, that's a really good defensive foundation in front of Oblak. Younger, more mobile, like, elastic defenders to help, you know, make things easier for Oblak.
Yeah, it's a decent signing. It's not too expensive. He's got plenty of experience in La Liga, and he's now a Spanish international. So, sure.
Would be nice.
Why not?
El Cid Husay has been linked with Atleti as well. The Napoli left back has already said he's leaving Italy, and he's stopped short of issuing a come-and-get-me plea to Atletico, but there has been a lot of talk that he's going to be the replacement for Felipe Luis / Lucas Hernandez. Probably the first Albanian ever to play for the club, too, almost certainly.
Yeah, almost certainly. He's good. I think he was better a few years ago than he is now, which is worrisome, but also makes me think that he's definitely going to sign for Atleti. but yeah, he's fine. He's good. I mean, he's a left back that can still run, so that's somewhat of an improvement, I guess.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he have two functioning legs?
Yes. Let's hope so.
Yes, he's good. He's played a lot under Maurizio Sarri, too, so we know he can attack a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it'd be a decent signing. It just depends, again, like everything, on the price.
So Husay has been linked with Atleti. Marcos Alonso as well.
No, thank you. I'm good.
Why is that, Rob?
Alonso. Oh, God. No, where do we start? Maybe it's that he can't defend. I mean, Marcos Alonso is a wingback. He's not a left back. He's a wingback. He can't defend in the slightest.
That's code for he's going to
piss Simeone's team, that's bad.
Yeah, that's code for he's going to piss Simeone off.
Exactly. Ain't no way that's going to work out. No thanks. And Atleti don't play Arsenal twice a year, so those two goals he gets every year won't be there. So that's like half his value gone.
Oh, man. So you're a no on Marcos Alonso.
A hard pass on Marcos Alonso. Hard pass. Give me his eye every day of the week.
I want Ben Chilwell instead, but Chilwell's going to be, like, massively expensive.
That rumor was ridiculous.
That was great, wasn't it?
That was ridiculous. No way. No, I mean, the only way I could picture that is if Leicester just wanted to be salty and sell him to not a Premier League team. That's the only way I could see that happening. And give Atleti a little bit of a discount.
I do like Chilwell. I think he's a promising fullback.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Yeah, he's pretty promising, but he does have like another 6 years to go on his contract.
And he just signed a new contract. He cost upwards of 70 million euros / pounds. Yeah. And, I mean, that's genuinely the only way is if Leicester just wanted to sell him out of the division. That's the only way that I could see him coming to Atleti.
Yeah, just so like Pep doesn't get his hands on him.
Right. Exactly. So they don't have to face him anymore. I mean, I would get that perspective, but I don't think it'll happen.
Finally, let's talk about what the hell is going on with this Rodri situation. So he comes out on Tuesday and says, basically, I need some space. Basically, he's putting his iPhone on Do Not Disturb. He's saying, look, I'm happy here. I've had a great year with Atletico. I have a contract. This is the club that brought me up. But I can't guarantee that I'm here next year. I need some space to think. The club needs to let me think. So he's gone. That's basically what that is he's gone.
I'm holding out hope. I'm going to be optimistical here.
Nah, he's gone. I'm just... At least he's not, you know... He's playing, like, a little game. Like, Griezmann was just playing, like, you know, Monopoly. Rodri's playing, I mean, like, Tetris.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. After that statement, you're right. It does make me more inclined to think he's going, but I don't know. I'm still holding out hope that they manage to keep him. I mean, even if they have to do the DeAndre Jordan, lock him in his house and just not let him leave thing, just do it. He's worth it.
He is worth it. He's one of the most promising midfielders on the continent, but our own Robbie Dunn wrote about this today, Wednesday, saying that this is part of the competitive disadvantage that Atleti have always faced and are always going to face. You know, they don't have the cachet that a team like, say, Real Madrid has, where you can just stick these absurd release clauses. That's why when supporters get pissed off these release clauses are quote-unquote too low, you got to consider the power, the bargaining power that Atleti have or don't have when you sign these players. Real Madrid, they're 13-time European champions. They're the biggest club in the world. They're the richest club in the world, arguably, next to Man City. Like, they can insert these clauses into contracts because players aren't going to want to leave. With Atletico, it's different. There are still a lot of players who view Atletico as kind of this stepping stone. The most loyal players are the kids who have come from the academy. Koke, Saul, etc. It's not a coincidence. So, his release clause is 70 million, bordering on 80 million euros, and it's cheap, sure, but you got to consider that Atleti don't have a ton of bargaining power.
Yeah, man, this is rough.
I mean, rough.
I know you said that he's one of, I mean, I think in terms of defensive midfielders, young defensive midfielders in Europe, he should be
he's probably number one
of prospects.
That's true.
And I don't really think it's close. I mean, I don't think that there is a close number two in that. I mean, there are guys that are similar, but not to the level of Rodri, or have the same potential as Rodri. I mean, Rodri is already a Champions League starter caliber player, and this is just, what, his second full season?
Yeah.
Like, it's bizarre.
It's his first year in the Champions League this year, and he started just about every game.
Exactly.
On a team that got to the knockouts and was very close to getting to the quarterfinals.
So. It's not something I really want to think about, but it does seem like we're heading that way.
It's part of the economic reality that a club like Atleti faces, and you just got to keep searching for replacements, although it is disappointing. I think Rodri's agent has a little too much power here. I think the agent's head has been turned by Man City, and thus Rodri's head has been turned by what City's going to offer him. Which, you know,
I mean, they could quadruple his wages like nothing.
Oh yeah, easily. Yeah, they'll give him a wage increase 5 or 6-fold if they have to, because they're richer than God.
Exactly. So it is what it is. I mean, if it happens, it will be terrible. But I will hold out hope. I will, until he's holding that pale-ass blue shirt, I will hold out.
Yeah, as will I, but it might be time to start listening to the rumors. Can I interest you in a lightly used Marcos Llorente?
Yeah, I guess.
It's very enthusiastic.
I'm now just depressed.
On that happy note, it's time to end the pod.
Yeah.
On that uplifting note. Rob Walker, you have been the guest on this edition of Colts Neuro Chat, and I thank you for joining me.
Always a pleasure.
Rob's on Twitter at rwalk03. I'm on Twitter at jbbaron. Into the Calderon is back on Twitter at Into the Calderon. And you can like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program on your favorite podcasting platform. It includes Apple Podcasts. Please leave us a rating and review if you would be so kind. and enjoy the fun on our Patreon page, patreon.com/cultureneurochat. We posted a new International Affairs Desk episode a few days back, checking in on players from Atleti's past, seeing how they're doing, what they're up to. patreon.com/cultureneurochat is the place to be for that exclusive bonus content. We'll be back next week. Until then, adios.